Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by Ivy Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ivy Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IVKUL.com. Golf's resurgence has done more than increase participation. It has transformed golf courses into highly sought-after leisure and investment properties. From private clubs and public courses to destination resorts and golf communities, the business of golf has never been more dynamic. And joining me now is Chris Karamitsos, Senior Managing Director, Co-Founder, and Partner of Leisure Investment Properties Group, one of the leading firms specializing in the sale and advisory of golf courses, marinas, and other leisure real estate. Chris is also a member of the PGA since 1995 and brings a wealth of just experience and insight from every segment of the golf industry. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Ann. Pleasure to be here.
So first, tell us about the company, Leisure Investment Properties Group.
Yeah, it's been a great whirlwind for us. We saw a few years ago an opportunity in the real estate side of the business to bring our expertise that we have in real estate transactions to a whole nother segment of real estate, which is the leisure side. And we saw that there was a glaring need for really good kind of Wall Street investment underwriting and transactional expertise on that side. Up until that point, there really wasn't a lot out there for people who wanted to buy or sell golf courses, and they were kind of flying blind. And we saw a niche to be able to bring our expertise on both the real estate side and the golf side, marry them together, and be able to advise our clients in the best way to do that.
Sounds like a perfect job for a PGA personality like yourself.
It was great because I had a little bit of a real estate background too, because I worked for my dad's real estate office for a long time. And then, some of our partners, I got recruited by Steve to come and start the leisure division for a big national firm. And from then we just, that was back in 08, and we grew it to what it is today. We're the most active golf course and leisure advisory group and brokerage group in the country.
So how would you describe the current market, Chris, for golf course transactions compared to, say, 5 years ago?
Great question. 5 years ago, as you remember, we were just going through COVID. There was a lot of uncertainty as to what was going to happen. We do know that when you couldn't do anything outside with all the social distancing, and the only thing you could do was get out and play golf or go boating. So both industries saw a really great resurgence, and we started recruiting more and more golfers all over the country. You had people that said, I don't think I'd ever play golf, but it's the only way I can get out of the house and do stuff. And then what happened was, for the next 2 years, all the intelligentsia in the industry was like, wow, golf is doing great. Is this just a COVID bump, or is this going to last? And so people had a wait and see approach, looking at all the numbers and how the golf courses started performing. Hey, these are going to be great investments, but let's just take a wait and see and make sure. And sure enough, even after 3-4 years, golf just stayed steady. It continued to grow, and the golf courses are doing better than they ever have.
So what types of golf properties are attracting the most interest?
There's a couple of different segments of the golf product type. So everybody knows you've got private golf courses, and sometimes what they don't realize is sometimes they're owned by a group of members, sometimes they're owned by a big company. And then you've got your daily fee courses and the ones that are run by cities and municipalities. What really is popular today is private clubs that are on good solid footing are always very popular, because one of the things that you have to understand is golf is an interesting business model. It relies on a couple of things that you have no control over. One is weather, and the other is the disposable income of your patrons, right? So the only other thing you can control is what kind of a product you put out there in the customer service. So private clubs are good from the standpoint of, even if it rains, you're making money because you've got dues line, not so much in a daily fee. So there you're a little more susceptible to those risks and challenges. But you know, depending on where you are, like in New York, so many great private clubs, good daily fee clubs are kind of at a premium. So if you can find a really good dynamite experience in New York, somewhere where there's really a lot of private clubs, and it needs to be a little more democratized to get people out on the golf course, I think you'll see daily fee clubs also become very, very popular.
So, what are buyers looking for, Chris? Investment opportunities, lifestyle assets, redevelopment potential? What are they actually looking for?
Not so much on the redevelopment side. Those are each generally a little challenging to get. It happens where golf course might be better suited for as a housing community, but there's a lot of reluctancy. What they're looking for, golf investors really are looking for a couple of things. Something that's got a little bit of lift. Okay, all golf investors want to look at something that's doing okay, but has a path forward, has a little trajectory that they can capitalize on. And that's called the upside in the sizzle. So, really, the majority of the golf courses that we sell are golf courses. Most golf courses are doing fairly well financially, but there's always room to grow, it seems like. If you've got a great plan moving forward for the club, put some reinvention capital into some of the, as you've seen out there at some of the courses in Long Island. I can tell you down here in Florida, in Naples, it's almost like an arms race.
Really?
Every club is just putting more and more capital into their clubs, making the amenities even better. They want their customers, their members to feel special. They want really a lot of great improvements, and that's what you're seeing now.
Because competition is so intense, I'm sure.
Very intense. It's very intense right now, but that's good. You know, it gives the member or the would-be member a lot of options, and it makes the other clubs have to become better.
And so, is there a lot of opportunity now for your company, Leisure Investment Properties Group, or are all these other, golf properties just so immersed in making the experience so great for their members and for the golfers that they want to kind of hold on to their property?
Yeah, great question. The ownership groups usually run in a cycle. There are some that are just buy and hold, and they're going to hold forever. But most people have an exit strategy, and it doesn't matter what kind of real estate, investment real estate you look at. Anywhere between 5 and 7% of the entire inventory is going to trade on any given year, whether it's an apartment complex or a retail center, triple net lease, or a golf course, or a marina. There's always going to be a percentage of that inventory that is going to trade. So, and we're ideally positioned to help facilitate that.
Well, you've mentioned, appealing to obviously the clientele, but what characteristics make a golf club especially attractive to investors?
Well, first of all, making sure that there's not too much deferred maintenance and not too much CapEx that's needed. That's important. knowing where the water comes from and how much it costs. That's all. And I don't want to get too germane or anything, but there are certain characteristics inherent to the product type itself that can be a little challenging that investors are always going to look for. But there's also, you see a lot of golf courses that were, when they were originally thought of, and I'm not talking about the classics, but stuff that came online a little bit later where they wanted to, hey, let's make it as hard as we can, and then, and now, with the whole, hey, let's tee it forward, let's dumb down the golf courses a little bit. This thing's got a gazillion bunkers. No, let's take bunkers out, right? Because they're very expensive to maintain. I sold the golf course a few years ago that only had like 22 bunkers. So the guy was loving it. He's like, I only have 22 bunkers on this golf course. This is the greatest thing I've ever bought.
I love it. So your company, Leisure Investment Properties Group, you not only deal with golf course acquisitions, but you also sell and advise marina properties. That's interesting.
Yes, we do. Marinas have also been a very good investment on the leisure side. And the other thing too, just to mention and go back, this goes for marinas as well. The returns are so much better on the leisure side than they've been on the core commercial side. And I don't want to get too into the weeds, but just basically, it costs a lot of money to borrow to buy a commercial real estate investment these days. If you recall, you hear all the talk and chatter about interest rates are high, that
Sure.
makes the cost of capital high. So what happens is it's harder to go buy an apartment complex that's going to give you a real small return when you got to pay so much money in interest than it is to go and buy a golf course or a marina that's got a big return with that same cost of capital. So now your margin is so much better. And that's one of the things that make marinas and golf courses very attractive to investors right now.
I was going to say, what are the similarities between the two? You already mentioned the ROI. Anything else?
Yep. The ROI and the fact that they cater to leisure enthusiasts. Okay, people that want to play golf. You'll find most of the golf course owners have some golf background. If they weren't, they may not be golf pros themselves, but they're avid golfers for the most part. You get on occasion, you get a few guys that say, "I've never touched a golf club in my life, but I like the numbers," But and the same thing though with most of the people we know of that deal in marinas, they're all boating enthusiasts. And you get into a marina. And the other thing too is, quite frankly, it's a lot more glamorous to look at pride of ownership and come in and see a beautiful marina or a country club and show this to some of your friends. You'd rather say, "Look at my beautiful marina," than, "Hey, look at this great industrial building that I just bought that's got, a bunch of hardware and stuff." So it's a little more glamorous, and you also get the benefit of making a little more money than maybe you would.
And is that what makes a marina a strong long-term investment? Those
Yes,
particular
it
things
is.
that you mentioned?
And the quality of income, slips are doing very well. Dry storage, when you've got a lot of dry racks that you can rent out, lease out long term, I mean, those are all good indications that the asset itself is on solid footing. And yeah, they've exceeded investors' expectations, I can tell you, over the last 4 to 5 years, ever since we came out of COVID. This leisure airspace has done tremendous, tremendous.
And what's the turnover like with both the golf properties and marinas? Because, being such a healthy and strong market, right? Do people really want to sell?
Yeah, like I kind of mentioned a little bit, everybody's got some degree of exit strategy that they have in their mind. Most of the hold periods we're seeing is anywhere between 7 to 10 years. When we write out a, when we do a pro forma, we'll probably look at a 5-year cash flow and internal rate of return analysis, but expect that to go a little longer. And then, of course, if you're doing something that's got, let's say there's development associated with it as well. So there might be a housing community associated with it that's going to build another 500 units, for instance. Well, then you're looking at a much greater hold time because you're going to be building that out, and you might be holding it for 15 years before you get the whole project completed. But usually on your just your standalone golf or marina, anywhere between 7 and 10 years.
And is it more valuable or more of an asset to have the real estate component to the golf?
In some instances, yes. What most developers like to do is if they have a golf community, for instance, and they're building out the houses, they want to maintain control of the amenity. Same thing with the marina. If it's a marina community, until you're about 80 or 90% built out, because they're using that amenity, that golf course, as an amenity to drive those lot sales, and they want that golf course to be in pristine condition. And then once, they might turn it over to the HOA, or somebody might come in and buy it and run it separately. But while they have to sell those lots, they want that amenity, that focal amenity, to be just absolutely dynamite.
Chris, let's talk about some industry trends in your business. Are more international buyers entering the U.S. golf property market?
I'm not seeing that many. No, I'm seeing more capital migration coming in from within the other industries within the states. So I'm seeing capital migration coming over from core commercial investors who invest in apartments and shopping centers and things like that. Just again, because the returns are so much better.
Interesting, because you do hear about so many international investors buying up other kinds of real estate, whether
Right.
it be Florida or
Now, we have seen
California.
out west, there have been some Asian investors looking at the California market. California has, no knock on it, it's maybe the most beautiful state in the country. It's been getting a little more challenging to conduct business in that state, and we've seen, a number of investors saying, I'm going to shy away from California or some of the Western states just because it's become a little more arduous. But yes, there's always been a significant Asian presence in that side, and it makes sense just, logistically speaking.
So, what regions of the country are the hottest right now for golf property investments?
Yeah, Southeast is really big. I mean, you've got so much migration from the north coming down. Florida, the Carolinas, Tennessee. We were just in Tennessee for a little long weekend, and that place is booming. Nashville, everything. Yeah, the Southeast is just going gangbusters, and everybody wants the Southeast. You've got year-round golf for the most part. And as you well know, that Orlando market is a hot market, but everything here in Florida is really very, very much sought after. Carolinas, it gets tough when you're out in, Arizona has its challenges with water. So it becomes a little bit more difficult. But yeah, the path of least resistance for somebody entering the airspace is really in the Southeast.
And what would you say, Chris, are your biggest challenges in this business?
That's a great question, and I'd say for our business model, it's we always have to stay on top of the trends. What's going on? We have to know the market. We have to stay up to date on what's selling, where the metrics are. what the investor sentiment is. And that's something that we focus on a great deal. Now, fortunately for us, because we have such velocity in our business, on our side, being the most active brokerage group in the airspace, we do more transactions a year than anybody else. So we really have a good idea of what the industry is looking at, what they're looking for. But that in and of itself is really the most challenging part. We want to make sure that we've got our finger on the pulse of the market. So when we advise our clients, we're giving them good sound advice and good judgment. Our job is to help our clients make good business decisions. That's what we're in the business of.
Sure. And your background is you wear so many hats. Just if you would tell my audience a little bit about, the variety in your background, from a PGA professional to serving as a lieutenant in the US Army, and how all of this has helped you in this specialized business.
Yeah, it certainly is a crazy path to get to where I am. But yeah, I started off in the Army, came right out of college, and was an Army officer for 4 years, and then got right into the golf business. So it was like, do I go to law school? Do I want to go? And I was like, you know what? I like golf. I want to play golf. You know, I think a lot of us who are PGA professionals, when we get into the golf business, we have this idea that somehow we may be a tour player someday. And, I played competitively. It didn't take me that long to figure out I wasn't going to make $1 million swinging a golf club, but maybe I could get into a different side of the golf business because I loved it so much. And so I got to learn everything about the golf business, from being a teaching pro to an assistant pro to running golf courses, being a GM. So that gave me a really good a good idea of what comprised the golf industry. And I did some sales repping early on for putters, for putter company when I first got in. And it just gave me a really good idea and background of the whole industry. And then working on the real estate side with my dad, I saw an opportunity to marry my golf experience with the real estate experience. And that was the most fun part. And the best part of the business is all the great people that you meet on all different areas of the industry. You know, from the media people like yourself to some of the CEOs of the biggest companies that run golf. To other brokers and golf professionals. I being a golf professional, I think it's one of the things that's been most rewarding to me is how many other golf professionals I've helped get into the ownership ranks. There's almost I'd say not every golf professional, but there's a lot of golf professionals that always say, "Oh boy, if I could just own my own golf course someday, that would be my dream." And I've helped make it happen for a lot of guys, and that's always been very rewarding for me.
Add mentor to your list of accomplishments for sure. So it's so
Absolutely.
obvious you're so passionate about what you do, Chris. What does it take to do your job better than anybody else?
You know, it takes discipline. It takes a relentless pursuit of excellence, really, is what, and wanting to also mentor the next generation coming up. I mean, we have a fantastic company here, and we're bringing up a new crop of investment advisors, teaching them what's important. But you have to be disciplined. You have to have a passion for wanting to help people. Anybody who's good at anything, like doctors. Okay, the best doctors in the world are, they just want to heal people, right? And the best investment advisors want to provide the best investment advice to their clients. And that's our passion, is watching people become successful at what they want to do. And when we have a hand in that, that's really the most rewarding part of it.
I love what you said, having a relentless pursuit of excellence, because you've been doing this for a very long time and it never gets old, right? You keep it fresh, it's exciting, and there's always new opportunities on the horizon.
Always. And that it's such a crazy, saying. Everybody says, oh, if you find something you love to do, you don't work a day in your life, so that really is true. Sure, you've got tough days, but you if all you were doing were playing golf for fun, if you were retired, you could just play golf every single day, which I'd like to get there eventually, but I'm too busy right now. But even when you're doing that, you're like, oh, I had a bad day on a golf course. You're always going to have a bad day, but you're going to love it anyway. You're still going to go back out the next day. We love what we do. We started this company because we love what we do. And, everybody asks, hey, when are you going to retire? Do you think you'd like to? Like, why would I even do that? I could do this until my 80s, I think, as long as I don't lose my
I know where
mind.
you're coming from. I get that question all the time. And why stop when you just love what you do? You have a passion for it. Before I let you go, Chris, best day on the golf course, what would you say it was?
Well, one of my most recent best days was at your tournament, Anne. We had such a great time. I think I made more feet of putts than I ever have in my entire life,
At the Maidstone Club in East
at the
Hampton, New York.
Maidstone Club
To benefit
in
St.
New
Jude.
York.
I'm so glad you came up for that. That was so much fun.
That was so much fun. I'm very privileged to be a part of a charity that is involved in education, and we do a charity event out in Pebble Beach every year, and that's really a lot of fun. We're going to do that again in October. And then personally, I had a one year I had a really good round in a US Open qualifier at a golf course that I ended up selling later down the road, and so it got me from one stage of US Open qualifying to the next stage, but I didn't make it past that. So
Which course was that, Chris?
that was a golf course that is now Cabot Citrus Farms, as a matter of fact. And back then it was called World Woods. And
Right.
oddly enough, the year that I went from the first stage to the second stage, the Open was at Shinnecock that year when Corey Pavin won. And I was trying to get back to Long Island to go to be able to play in the U.S. Open in my own stomping grounds, but it didn't come to fruition, which was too bad. But
Well, as you know, we just had the U.S. Open out here at Shinnecock, and what a win for Wyndham Clark. And boy, I've covered five of those U.S. Opens, so I could have been there when you were playing.
You probably would have. And we have some mutual friends too that some of my best friends have worked for you in the past.
Yes, for sure. Well, there's
Right.
a lot of, synergy, and that's what I love about the golf business. Everybody knows everybody else, and it's just such a great business full of wonderful, very generous people. When I host my charity golf event, all I have to do is ask a club manufacturer or, a specific golf product, and we get so many donations in, for prizes and for auction items, and people like yourself, who do so much for charity and who just have such a compelling background and position in the golf business. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Chris. So thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Chris Karamitsos, Senior Managing Director, Co-founder and Partner of Leisure Investment Properties Group. Thanks again. Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by Ivy Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ivy Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com.